Late last year, United Nations Secretary General Kofi Annan appointed a high-level panel to examine threats to international peace and security in the 21st century. More importantly, the group will examine how the United Nations can address those threats. Work is underway with a report expected by the end of the year. In the first of a three-part series on the UN in the 21st century, Common Ground's Cliff Brockman asked panel member Nafees Sadiq what the group's main concerns should be in reforming the UN to confront today's security concerns.
Well, I think the first thing that the panel has to do is to identify what these threats are. And the threats that need collective action are what we need to identify. Not try to make a difference between what are called hard threats and soft threats, but really list them all and show the connections between the two and demonstrate how collective action would be necessary in order to deal with them.
For our listeners, what is the difference between a hard and a soft threat?
Well, for example, the hard threats are listed as weapons of mass destruction, terrorism, and the soft threats are those, for example, in the health area, like HIV/AIDS, poverty, water, sanitation, migration issues. But when you really start to analyze them, they're all linked to one another.
Like most organizations, the UN can be and is a very political organization. What are some of the likely politics that the panel will have to consider when they formulate their recommendations?
The thing is, of course, that there have been so many studies and reports about the UN and about the role of the international community on many of these issues. They've been discussed, but not necessarily implemented. I think the Brahimi report was one of the reports that got a lot of attention and a certain amount of implementation because it was very focused on implementation and the role of the UN. So it was, you know, much more limited in its scope. But many other reports on the UN as such, reform, have been very wide-ranging. The result that for one reason or the other, some group has then tended to block the recommendations and they didn't move forward. It was not that they didn't get attention. They all got attention, but not attention in the sense of an active action to implement them. I think the challenge to us is to find a process that gets the different groups to buy in to the recommendations and therefore a vision on how the implementation of the recommendations should be charted.
As you said, there have been many reports that have been done on UN reform and not implemented, except perhaps with the one exception that you mentioned. And you said your panel must find some way to make sure that doesn't happen. What could you possibly do, or what could this panel possibly do that would keep this report from just gathering?
Well, I think, first of all, we really are trying to find a way to cater to all the different groups at the UN. I think before the report is finalized, you have to find some key partners that will try to forge the consensus within the international community without being seen as being partisan to any particular country. But, you know, there are countries that play a leadership role. Many countries are offering to host, discussions and meetings on topics, also to bring together groups of the membership. I think all that will be part of the process of developing the recommendations and the final say. Secondly, the Secretary General has to do a good job of selling this report. I think if it just goes into the UN normative processes, I don't think it will have a great chance for success. So I think the SG has to raise the level of those to whom the report, its report will be addressed. That is like heads of states, foreign secretaries, foreign ministers, and other ministers.
So it sounds like you're saying, too, that once this report comes out from the panel, there's going to be a lot of follow-up that's going to be necessary to make this go forward.
No doubt about that. I think that's the first part of the work of the Secretary General. I think that there has to be a lot of work during the process, in my opinion, of getting people engaged somehow, on, you know, not putting out the recommendations, but on the issues and having views on the issues from all groups. But once the report is out, then even more work will have to be done on getting the countries on board, the various institutions on board, getting the buy-in, making some adjustments, then having a long-term commitment. You still have to have follow-up monitoring, and that's a long process.
There has been some criticism. UN Wire columnist Barbara Crosset has written about some criticism of this makeup of this special panel. She said the panel was highly anticipated, but some critics say that, and with all due respect to you, the panel is mostly experienced senior figures, and it needs to be balanced with some younger voices. How will the panel make sure that some of these other voices are heard?
I think that that's a very good comment, because we're really talking about the future. What we have thought about is to bring, in the regional hearings, to bring voices of young people in the discussion and to engage with youth organizations, youth groups in the discussion. I think that she is right, that we need to have some younger views and views that are untainted by political overtones. I think if that's what she means by younger voices, I think that that's quite important. And I think young people are unbridled and they think, openly and without any hang-ups of the past. And we need to hear some of those voices. We obviously can't discuss what we are going to say publicly, but I think we need to find a way to have the discussion out there with the public.
Nafi Sadiq is one of 16 people serving on the UN's high-level panel on threats, challenges, and change. Next week, I'll talk to two leading experts on the UN's humanitarian challenges in the 21st century. For Common Ground, I'm Cliff Brockman.